You're listening to Sensitive Changemakers. This podcast is created for highly sensitive leaders and is designed to support you to embrace your strengths and gifts so you can feel more confident in your own mind and body and live a life with intention, purpose, and more importantly, joy. I'm your host, Kate Carter, a fellow HSP who has a BA Honours degree in education, is a fully trained and qualified professional coach and NLP practitioner, and has over 17 years of teaching and over 3 years of coaching experience supporting highly sensitive people. I believe that you can do anything you want to in this life, but that sometimes the path forward becomes muddy with self-doubt and fear of failure. It's my mission to help sensitive thought leaders peel away the self-doubt and stories holding them back, for them to see their own beauty and strength, so they can increase self-confidence and self-trust through thought and embodiment work, and see their path clearly and move forward confidently, living their life with intention and purpose. I would love for you to come and join us. Hello and welcome to Sensitive Changemakers. I hope this episode finds you well. I am taking a break over the Christmas period. And so what I've done is I've got the three best performing podcast episodes lined up for you over the next 3 weeks, so you can enjoy listening to those and really get a feel for energy and being highly sensitive and the gifts that are involved in that. And so I would love to get your takeaways and your feedback. Please do let me know. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday period. If you celebrate Christmas, have a wonderful Christmas. If you don't, I hope you get time to relax over this time. And I will see you and I will see you in 2024. I have a wonderful, wonderful guest today. So we have Sambada, and she is a business and career transition coach, which I'm really, really intrigued by, because I think this was something I was so interested in when I first started coaching. And she works with introverted and intuitive, empathic and sensitive working professionals, and she helps them to make the transition in their career. So Sambada, I am so, so happy to have you here. Would you like to add anything more to that lovely introduction?
Thank you for the introduction, Kate. Yes, I basically work with working professionals to help them create work that makes them happy, work that they're passionate about, work that's meaningful and fulfilling. So in the last decade, I've coached over 100 people to transition to careers of choice. I have worked with art directors, graphic designers, photographers, lawyers, digital entrepreneurs, business heads of companies, and I've helped them launch careers as stylists, as art therapists, as gourmet chefs, as artistic holiday planners, and a lot more. And I largely work with creative folks, so or people who have a creative bent of mine, and typically they are also intuitive and sensitive like me.
Yeah, absolutely. We were just sort of talking about how we seem to attract people who are very similar to ourselves. So I love the fact there is a huge amount of creativity in that description, isn't there? Is there one that you found that you enjoy working with the most, or is it just anybody that's creative?
I love working with art directors.
Yeah?
Yeah, most of my clients have been art directors.
And what is it about that that you find so exciting?
They are very open to the coaching, and they absorb and, they make things happen.
Yeah.
And they are very imaginative.
Yeah.
So I love working with art directors.
That's lovely. And I, like I said, I'm really interested in how you support people from transitioning from one to another. Do you have a process, or are you very much what each individual client needs? How do you work with clients?
So I do have a process, but I need to customize it for each individual client. Mm-hmm. So for example, last month I worked with a banker, who comes from a very different background, who wanted to transition into entrepreneurship. So I had to custom make the program for him. So there is a structure, but, it works differently for different people from different backgrounds.
Yeah. So you really got that personal touch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do one-on-one coaching. So it's individual, it's customized.
Yes, that was my next question was, is it just one-to-one you work with, or do you do any group programs or?
I used to do group programs, but I feel one-to-one programs are far more enriching and there's more focus and attention and they work the best.
Yes, and as sensitive, intuitive, that
Oh,
is
yes.
really, yeah, that really does tick all the boxes, doesn't it, with working one-to-one.
Right.
Yeah.
It
I
does, it
would
does.
I'd be really interested to dive a bit into how you got into this and what led you into being a transition coach.
So, I worked in corporate advertising jobs for about 15 years, and I loved my jobs. They were fun, enriching because advertising is a fun business. And I grew, I made a lot of friends, I earned a lot of money, I did everything that I wanted to. But corporate life was also very exhausting. So I'd work long hours. I'd spend 5 hours to 6 hours in commute. That's what Bombay is. And manage all the stress that comes with an advertising job. And all I did over the weekend was rest and recover from the exhaustion to go back to it on Monday morning. So, I felt there was something wrong. Like it was too demanding and exhausting, even though I loved it. So I decided to start out on my own. So even when, socializing in office, everyone's idea of bonding is to go out at a noisy bar in the evening, Friday
Yes,
evening.
yes.
That's their idea of fun, but I felt, and it was like a rite of passage, but I didn't really like it. My idea of fun is to go home, snuggle in a blanket, read a good book, and, have a nice beverage. So it was really exhausting and demanding. And I thought everyone in corporate jobs was as exhausted as I was. Only when I realized I'm a highly sensitive person is when I realized that's not the case for everyone. So, they do have fun. It energizes them. Going out energizes them. Going out drains me. So, I decided to start out on my own. And in my advertising career, I had transitioned a lot across departments from account planning to, I started out in media, moved to account planning, account management, new business. I was a senior product manager with Johnson & Johnson for about a year and a half. So I had varied experiences and I transitioned a lot. So I decided to start out on my own. So I initially started out with consulting work. So I used to head the new business division of a very large advertising agency in India. So I started doing new business for small entrepreneurs and creative folks like photographers, art directors. And on the side, I trained as a coach and I loved career transition. I really felt that each person can do work that's meaningful and fulfilling. You don't have to go through the grind and I can help them find it. So like I found it for myself. So that's how I started doing it. So I was, so I had a bit of a side hustle. I did consulting work and I trained as a coach on the side. And then after a year and a half, I did full-time coaching. So I've been doing
Wow.
it for a decade now.
Wow, a decade. That is some experience right there, isn't it?
Yes.
And I hear from you as you're talking about that, a huge amount of passion from what you experienced in the corporate world to like almost like a realization that it doesn't have to be this way. And just because everybody else really benefits or thrives in that kind of energy or atmosphere doesn't mean that that's the right thing for me. And I can hear that's kind of a driving force for you when you're supporting your own clients is you don't have to feel, exhausted or completely burnt out. You can find a career that enriches you or supports
Right.
you.
But the sad part is when I started out on my own as a business and career transition coach, I continued to hustle and grind because that's the style of working that was wired in me. It's taken me close to 10 years to unwire that way and to teach people. So, even I had the flexibility to not hustle and grind. I continued to work like that because, from school and college, we are put into that grind of, 6 hours, 7 hours of school and college and exams and things like that. And the corporate world is also trains you to do the hustle and grind. So it took me a lot of time because I used to feel, oh, I'm doing something wrong. I used to feel unproductive or worthless. how can you not work crazy hours, because our productivity is linked to our worth in our culture. It's an unsaid thing, but it's very much there.
Oh, it's very much ingrained, isn't it? It's that work harder to earn more money type thing. You can't earn money unless you go crazy in the amount of work that you're doing. And I think what you're supporting your clients with now is so important. And I know, with my clients, when I think about it, some of the things that we have to go through are unlearning those ingrained social norms, if you like, of working harder and harder and harder, and actually realizing that you can pull back, you can rest, you can take your time.
Yeah, but it's very challenging to do that in a world that does hustle and grind.
Yeah.
So you're the only one who's not hustling and grinding. So you start questioning yourself, am I missing something? Am I doing something wrong? Or am I being lazy?
Yes.
Because that's, your neighbor's doing it, your mother's going for her job. Like everybody, your cousins, your friends, everybody's hustling. So it becomes even more challenging in a culture that's totally hustle and grind.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Is that what you kind of found difficult at the start?
Yeah, I found that difficult at the start, like for a very long time. But, then I started realizing, actually, how I realized I'm a highly sensitive person. It happened over time. And it's not like I woke up one day realizing I'm an HSP. My mom always told me that, I'm sensitive and I should burn camphor and essential oils so that I can release energy that I've picked up from other places or people.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, I didn't understand how one could pick up energy from places and people. I just didn't get it. But slowly, I read a lot about this online. I met friends who had similar experiences and identified as highly sensitive. They started using that word, highly sensitive. And that's how I discovered I was highly sensitive too. So it was a gradual process. And of course, many years later, I read Elaine Aron's book, The Highly Sensitive Person, and that really resonated. So it took me a lot of time. I still sometimes struggle with it because we intrinsically live in a world that's go, go, go.
Yes. Yep. And if anybody is listening, Elaine Aron's work is great. She's actually got like a highly sensitive questionnaire as well that you can do to see.
Right.
And I remember doing it thinking, I'm not highly sensitive, it'd be fine. And then I got the score and I was like, oh, okay, maybe I am. So, yeah, I love the fact that you really highlight that. And I love as well that you normalize, I feel like I'm having this conversation a lot, but you normalize the longer journey. Like it wasn't like an instant thing. It was something that took time and you had to work out a way to integrate that into your life. Again, because it was so against the norms of what was happening around you. I'd be really interested to hear what kind of things did you put into place to help you to cultivate and nourish that side of you.
So I was lucky to come across Kate Northrup's work. She's the author of a book called Do Less.
Yes.
And I was part of her Origin Mastermind, Origin membership, and for some time. And I absorbed a lot of work that she taught. And she has a mantra, body first, business second. So for me, it's body first, everything else second.
Yeah.
So, and she teaches you the importance of energy and, managing your nervous system. So I prioritize energy management over time management. So I take care of my energy a lot. I ensure I get a good night's sleep. I ensure I've eaten whole foods, little or no junk. I go for a long walk in nature because I'm self-employed. I have the liberty to do that. And that's how I ground my energy. I exercise. I keep flowers and plants around me so they absorb the excess energy and keep me grounded and in my own energy. So that's how I prioritize energy. If I'm really tired, I replenish my energy. Instead of, in office, what I would do, I would grab a cup of coffee, caffeinate myself and go. But now I make it a point, if I'm feeling a little tired, I take a nap in the middle of the day. Or I go for a walk in nature or I sit in nature. Sometimes I eat something nourishing or just chat with people because even social connect gets you energized. It happens to introverts also. We always don't get drained with, conversation because we are also social animals. And I spend a lot of time creating content. And sometimes when I feel spent or like I'm having a creative block, I refill my creative well by reading a good book, watching comedy, or visiting an art store.
I love
So
those.
that's how I manage. So when I'm well rested with a good night's sleep, well fed with a nourishing meal, it seems like time expands. And then
Yeah.
I'm able to do work more efficiently, faster, with no fatigue and little or no mistakes. And I get a lot done with less time and effort. So then when I use time management tools such as task batching, time blocking, co-working, it works out fabulously. I am a huge fan of virtual co-working. So I have a group from the UK, co-work crowd, and we work together on one platform, which keeps us accountable, and it's very introvert friendly.
Oh, I like that. So you're sort of all, are you all working on separate things and you're just in the same virtual space?
Same virtual space. So earlier they would do it on Zoom. Now they have a special setup. So there are women from various countries. We're all on mute, and I like to put my camera off because I'm highly sensitive. Otherwise, I pick up
Yeah.
everybody's energy. And this group allows you to put your camera off because they understand that we are sensitive people.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are other places where I can co-work, but camera has to be on.
Yes.
So I like this camera off, and audio is mute, and you
Yeah.
just work and you have your task list and you get go working.
Yeah, I like that because I think one of the misconceptions is that introverts or highly sensitive people likes time on their own, which they do. I absolutely do like my time on my own, but also we
Yeah.
do like having connections. And I know for me, like you were saying then, having a really deep, meaningful conversation with one or two people can be just as energizing as being in a crowd of people for extroverts.
Yeah.
So I think that's really beautiful to pick that up.
Yeah, and this virtual co-working is introvert friendly because no one's chatting up, you know. So we just do our work, but we need
Yeah.
community. I really need community, but in a different way.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And I've not heard of something like that before. I've heard of like actual physical places that you could go and do that, but not a virtual
Yeah.
one. So I think that's really.
Oh, I adore virtual co-working. My productivity is at its best when I work virtually, co-work with people. And of course, even offline co-working, but you know, I have to take my laptop and go to some place. I can do this at home. So that's introvert friendly.
Yeah, I love that. And I love how you're talking about picking up on other people's energy. I know for me personally, that was one of the last things that kind of clicked into place in terms of being highly sensitive. I knew that I had the other things, but I was like, no, I'm not picking up on other people's energy. It's all mine. It's, you
Right.
know, and then actually realizing, especially with social media, actually realizing sometimes how much that affected me and how much I had been thinking in a lot of detail about something, and then realizing that it had affected the way that I was writing my content, or it was affecting the way that I was talking to my clients. And I was like, no, this isn't my voice. So I completely get
Yeah,
that.
right. Yeah. For the longest time, I didn't buy into this concept of picking up energy from people and places. I was like, it's rubbish. What? I didn't buy into it for many years until I started experiencing things myself.
Yeah, and what do you do? So you said you had, was it plants and things around you to help?
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
one. Plants and flowers, they absorb energy. So real plants and real flowers and not
Yes.
plastic bounces the energy, so it's
Yeah.
worse.
Yeah.
So
Perfect. And anything else you do there to help sort of clear your energy?
yeah, I like walking, so I do a 1 hour walk in nature, necessarily in nature. I don't get on the treadmill, which I don't know, nature is so huge. It just I co-regulate with nature, so that helps a lot. And you know, eating well, eating on time, hydrating, things like that, keeping your space clean.
How long do you think it took you to get to a place where you felt okay with taking a nap when you wanted to, or moving away from sort of time over energy? Was it the whole 10 years that you've been in business, or was it a shorter amount of time?
No, it was a very long time because I believe Even though I started out on my own, I had the flexibility of working my hours. I would make it a point to work 9 to 5 or, 10 to 6. And I would still caffeinate myself through the tiredness, just like I did in office, because I thought there was something very wrong with taking a nap in the middle of the day and not being professional, something, something. But, as I started becoming part of many groups that were highly sensitive and introverted and intuitive, and there were conversations and there were webinars and we had, material, taking a nap was normalized for me. And I could see the benefits because when I took a nap, even for 20 minutes or 10 minutes, my energy was really good and I would finish a lot more than I would have otherwise finished, and in a way, very happy way, not tired and exhausted. So as I saw the benefits, I'm like, okay, I don't have a boss. I'm not answerable to anybody. I have deadlines. I have deliverables with clients, but a lot of my time is mine to decide what I want to do. So it took me a few years, actually.
That's, and I think that's really useful for a lot of people to hear that they can sort of navigate through that in their own time. And like you said, when you start to see the benefits of those changes for yourself, you can start to really buy into it and implement it further. So I think that's such a wonderful journey to have been through.
Yeah, so highly sensitive people don't do too well in capitalist systems that tell you to work 9 to 5 or 9 to 9 or 9 to God knows when, and caffeinate through stress and all of that, and prioritize productivity over everything else, over your well-being, and not listen to your body. So from with Kate Northrup, I learned to listen to my body. Like she's been talking about it quite a bit. I started exercising that, and slowly it's become the norm. I listen to my body very easily now because it tells me if I'm tired or if I'm having a creative block, which means my creative well is empty. So I need to go to the art store, or I need to take a break. I need to let the content marinate for a week, and when I come back to it in 20 minutes, I'm done instead of struggling for 4 days.
And if you've ever read the book, The Big Leap by
Yes.
Gay Hendricks,
Yeah.
he talks a lot about that, doesn't he? About
Yeah.
Einstein time and Newtonian
Yeah.
time.
Chronos and Kairos time. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think
She talks
that's,
about that. Yeah.
I think that's really fits in really
Yeah.
nicely
So
there.
I like to tune into the Kairos time, which is timeless. Time expands there.
Well, it sounds
Yeah.
like it works beautifully for you, doesn't it, when
Yeah.
you're in
Yeah.
that creative moment. So I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So if you would like our audience to take one thing away with them today that they could implement and use to help them in their own business, what would it be?
I would say, to the extent you can, prioritize energy management over time management. Because when you're well fed and you're well rested, you're able to do a lot better work. Time expands, and not everyone is self-employed, so they don't have the flexibility as much as I do to suddenly take a walk around the block, at 4:30 in the evening. But if you're in a job, you can ensure that you're hydrated, you're eating your meals in time, you maybe want to take the stairs so that you have some sort of exercise, because otherwise your life is sedentary. So things like that. Listen to your body when it's saying it's hungry, eat, when you're feeling like you need to drink water, get up and drink water. Listen to your body. That's very, very important.
And I know for me that was one of my biggest barriers, was actually starting to listen to my body, because we're never taught how to do that. It's very much prioritized, like you were saying, the working brain and that go, go, go. Nobody ever tells you, unless you go and find it, how to actually tap into your body and really get to grips with how it's feeling and the messages it's giving you. So I think that's a wonderful kind of opportunity for the audience to go away and deepen that connection.
Yeah. In fact, our culture doesn't allow us to do that. So in school, you have recess time and you have lunch break. You can go to the washroom and those times. You can't, get up suddenly in the middle of the class. And, so we're trained from a very young age to not listen to our body,
Yeah.
to suppress what it's saying.
Yeah. And it's how to unlearn that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also, the way I create content is intuitive. So a lot of ideas come to me when I'm on a walk.
Yes.
So a lot of blog posts get written on a blog, on a walk.
Yeah.
So new ideas come when I walk. So walking is an integral part of my work, because if I don't walk, I'm not going to get ideas. Or, you know, just napping, just lounging on the sofa, I get ideas. I take my phone and put it. Sometimes I create an entire post just lounging. So, but in office, we're told we have to sit on the chair and at the desk. And so earlier when I started working on my own, I would sit at the desk in my house. I wouldn't lounge on the sofa because, you know, this is work time. I'm
Yes.
not going to do that. But I think I've got maximum content while lounging.
Yeah.
So it just comes. So a lot of sensitive people who are introverted are also intuitive. So you pick up messages, you pick up content ideas, you know, and
yeah.
things like that. Something that the world needs to know about. And you honor that. So it really helps me. So when I'm well fed, well slept, well nourished, replenished in my energy, I feel very good. Last year, I did a program with Kate Northrup, which was out of the world. I don't know if she's repeating it. It's called Regenerative Business. How you can replenish your energy. You can bring in more energy with the way you work. So I learned a lot of these techniques from her. So, you know, how failures and bad experiences can be compost, and then they become fertilizer and new things grow out of it. So how to, you know, reorient your thinking. So, which is very opposite of what the capitalist world teaches us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So all of that has really helped me. It's taken time because it's a counterculture.
Yes, absolutely. And I know sometimes you were talking about lounging on the sofa. I do like white space thinking when I just go and lie on my bed. And I'll just lie there with my eyes closed. And like you said, I go, oh, that's a really good idea. And I now have learned to have like a notepad next to me and just write down some notes and things. But yeah, that can be incredibly powerful. That's yeah, some really, really good things for the audience to take away there. I love it.
Yeah.
And
I also,
go ahead, sir.
One more thing. I also do a lot of journaling. I
Yes.
feel as a highly sensitive person, journaling grounds me. It gives me clarity. It gives me new ideas. So that's another thing. So I do follow a lot of Julia Cameron's work. She
yeah.
talks about writing morning pages every morning. And she talks about going for an artist date when your creative well is needs replenishment. So
yeah.
I've been impacted a lot by her work too. So I really recommend it to a lot of people, particularly creative, highly sensitive, intuitive, empathic folks.
Yeah, if you could let me know, email me that. I'll put that into the show notes. So I'll put
absolutely
the things that
yeah.
we've mentioned. That would be fantastic. And how can people find you? How can they work with you? How can they
So
explore?
They can find me on my website, which is sampadachaudhary.in, which is sampadachaudhary@.in. And I'm on Instagram and LinkedIn at Sampada Chaudhary. So I can send you this. You can add it to the show notes.
Yes, absolutely. I'll put the links in the show notes. And
yeah.
Are you working on anything in particular that the
yeah.
audience might benefit
yeah.
from?
Yeah, so my biggest focus has been on helping people transition careers when they're at crossroads. I'm relaunching a program I had for productivity. So, you know, we talk about energy management and time management. So doing time management in the new way where energy is the focus. So I'm relaunching a program called Fret Less, Do More.
Nice.
So it's going to be about how to be more productive with your projects without burning out and killing yourself and, you know, really being exhausted.
Yeah. Oh, that's
going
to
yeah.
be very, very exciting. Have you got a link or anything for that?
I'm making the page now. In a week's time, it'll be up.
Perfect. So hopefully by the time this goes out, we'll have the link for everybody
oh,
to go.
Great. Yes.
So that would be fantastic. Well, thank you so, so much. We've had so much information there, and I think I'm leaving just feeling really empowered to go away and do things my way and to find different, new different things that are going to support me. And I'm hoping that's the case for the audience as well. So thank you so, so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
It was lovely talking to you, and thank you for inviting me over.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you have any takeaways or any questions, please do reach out to me either through Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook at Kate Carter Coaching, or you can email me at kate@katecarter.co.uk. I always love to hear your feedback and the things that you have taken from the podcast. If you know of any other highly sensitive people, then please do share this so that I can reach more and support more highly sensitive people to embrace their strengths and gifts. As a thank you, I will pick a winner every month for a free 50-minute coaching session with me. Thank you so, so much.